C2PR. Number 2B.
All right. Now, what is the scientific approach? Well, you know, already the Greeks could see that only like understands like. That's an old, nearly axiom, that only like can understand like. Just as like produces like, we must see that only like can understand like. Now, I have shown in the last half hour that God, principle, interprets itself through categories. It doesn't interpret itself through people or through mountains or through weather or through I don't know what. It interprets itself through its own nature as the principle that is a science. Therefore, if like can only understand like, there must be something within ourselves that is of the same nature. Which means that only that within ourselves that is of the same nature as the categories of being, that only that can understand being. Therefore, there must be an isomorphy between the structure of being itself and the structure of our consciousness. Only if those two are of the same nature, they understand each other. Therefore, in order to be able to read the textbook in its science, the reader must have within himself a consciousness that is structured according to the categories of being. Is that logic? That doesn't make much difficulty to see that. Therefore, in order to have that structured consciousness, we naturally must structure our consciousness so that it is equal, congruent with the structure of being. Now, we know naturally that the human mind is structured differently, that the human mind has a human system of reference. We are not educated and brought up in the divine system of reference. We are brought up in a human and mortal system of reference, where mortal thinking is right, where matter is real, where the sense testimony is true, where people are important, where we know that everything will die and disappear. And so we have taken all that as our standard of reality and of truth, and therefore we always had disappointment instead of fulfillment. So what the student of Christian Science has to do is actually to re-educate himself in his consciousness, that he has to transform his consciousness, the way he thinks, the way he feels. And that is a great mutation, a great paradigm shift for every student. He has to educate himself out of the mortal mind system of reference into the divine mind system of reference. And how can that be done? Well, that's the purpose of our classes. Our classes are coming in right at this point. These classes want to show the student first that such a paradigm shift from the physical to the mental to the spiritual is necessary, that without that nothing will happen. Then when one sees that this paradigm shift is necessary, one begins to teach what the categories are. And you have the classes on the synonyms, all what goes with that, days of creation, commandments, beatitudes, and so on, showing the seven synonymous terms, so that we are acquainted with a new standard of reality, with ideas. We teach then the four orders, the four sides of the Holy City. We teach the four levels. And this is all there just for that one and only purpose, to restructure our consciousness, that when that consciousness is being restructured in that way, we really can read the textbook. So you see, we don't start with teaching the textbook actually, and say, now, come on, let's take prayer, and we just read together prayer, and we talk a little bit about prayer, and see how wonderful this chapter on prayer is, and how we should pray, and how we shouldn't pray. All that we could do, but it wouldn't lead us very far, because Christian scientists have done that for 50, 60 years, and haven't really got very far. So, the time would come, can you see, where through that culture of a spiritual consciousness, we should be able to read the textbook as a science, as a structure. Can you see also another point? Because we said we would like to talk about interpretation a lot this week, and that I would bring up various aspects of text interpretation. Naturally, you could see that if when Mrs. Eddy was transparent enough to let principles interpretation of itself as a science shine through her, and she was willing to write what that inspiration gave her, and was writing down a text, that text reflects the whole structure of being. So that was the first big thing to do. That was Mrs. Eddy's job. Now, we have another job. We have not that job to say, all right, now I listen again to principle and see how principle interprets itself as a science to us. We may say quite humbly, well, I guess we are not transparent enough for that yet. But Mrs. Eddy has given us a text, and now we can use that text in an inductive way instead of a deductive way. You know what deduction and induction is? A deductive way is when you reason from a principle to its phenomena, therefore to the text. That was Mrs. Eddy's job, that she could hear that divine principle speak, what the divine principle was interpreting about itself, and she wrote it down. And now we have that whole text, and now what we can do is to use more the inductive method, to take now this whole text and see, can we see the structure behind that text, so that the whole text would lead us back to see the inner nature of principle in its science. So we have another job than Mrs. Eddy. We have to say, we are humble enough and say, all right, I take as an axiom, I take it for granted that we must do at the beginning. I take it as a hypothesis that Mrs. Eddy was right. Somewhere we must have trust in something in order to prove if it's right or wrong. And take that text and say, all right, that was God speaking to our age. Now, what did God speak? And so we take the text, and from the great amount of words in those 600 pages, we try to see now the relationships that exist, the fundamental relationships that exist, and so that it is all coming together again as the one principle with its categories.
Yes.
Now, that we'll do. We'll do this week and show it in the textbook. Another point I have to bring in here is this, about the textbook and the interpretation. See, we can take a text also in two ways. We can say, what is the fundamental and general structure that is holding the whole text together. But also, and this is the first thing we have done in interpretation, we can also use a text for selective reading or selective interpretation. And that has to be taken very carefully. But what you have done over the last few years was actually using the textbook for selective interpretation. Namely, you were taking the statements in the textbook that referred to the synonymous terms, to the capitalized terms, and were only interpreting those selected statements, those atomistic statements, but for the for a definite purpose, namely to find out what the term mind, for instance, meant. So you didn't have to read the whole textbook through. You just could go from one reference to the next. But what you had to do was interpretation, selective interpretation, namely to say, what does Mrs. Eddy say here specifically about the nature of mind, for instance? And you say, well, she says here specifically, mind is all, or mind is intelligence, or mind is the creator. And so in that way, we already used the textbook for interpretation. But that is not really what we mean this week by text interpretation. Though, I would like then to show that we can use and should use that selective reading much more than what we have done perhaps up to now. So again, you can see there is a difference. You can't just say interpretation. We must know what kind of interpretation we mean. I said that we have taken the synonyms and have interpreted them selectively through the statements. Couldn't we have done it, or isn't? I must put it another way. Isn't there another way to learn the synonymous terms? Or isn't there another way to elaborate the synonymous term? To get a bigger feeling of the synonymous term, to get the rounder feeling of the synonymous term, to get a deeper feeling of them, a warmer feeling of them. And that will be answered through text interpretation the way we are doing it this week. Namely, that actually the text, like prayer, you know now prayer a bit, that prayer would show over the first page and a half or so, would show the tone of mind. Though that text speaks about spirit and about soul and about principle and about life and about truth and about love. What is the difference? The difference is that if we first have the selective interpretation of the synonymous terms, as you have done it, so as to get the concept building, and from the concept building to the tonality building of the seven synonymous terms, then from that point on, we can go to the whole text of the textbook. And with that tonality of the seven synonymous term, we find in the textbook those seven synonymous terms, mostly without that they are mentioned verbally. Like the first prayer covers a page and a half, which gives the prayer of mind, but has all the other synonyms in it too. The second prayer, the prayer of spirit, and perhaps the synonymous term spirit hardly appears, and the others do appear, and yet it is the tone of spirit, which gives us then a much larger, much more warmer, bigger sense of the synonyms, because they are embedded in a whole subject, in a whole big presentation. Their spirit is not just a substance, and that's the term and finished. Their spirit is explained through 3 pages, another chapter through 10 pages, is the whole feel, the whole atmosphere of a synonym laid out. And that gives us naturally that warmer sense, that feeling sense of the synonymous terms, where we are getting free of specific words and terms. Then Mrs. Eddy says, if you take the textbook, then you have the key to the scriptures. You open up the textbook, and by opening up the textbook in the way we have been showing, you actually can open up the Bible. And that's naturally terrific. See, the Bible is the concern of millions of intelligent people, of millions of professors and theologians and so on all over those 2,000 years. And one has never been able to agree what the Bible really teaches. That's why we have these hundreds and thousands of sects. If you say sects, yes, isms and so on. One text, thousands of sects. Why? Do we have that in mathematics? Do we have one mathematics and a few thousand or tens of thousands of different mathematics? Do we have one chemistry, science of chemistry, and then everyone has its own chemistry, which always differs with the other one, which always quarrels with the other one, which never agrees with the other one? Science, taken in its pure sense, is a universal language. That's why the scientists always hoped that the world would once be unified through exact science, because exact science is something that everybody understands in the same way. There is no arguing about it. Well, that's a sideline. But what I want to say is this. Because the Bible does not show those key tones verbally, does not say, well, God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and therefore you can interpret the Bible on this key, because the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible has no synonymous terms in it, not the 4 spelled out in it, not the 4 levels spelled out in it, but it has it just the same, but in completely different symbols, in a completely different language. It doesn't say, God said, let there be mind. It said, let there be light. It doesn't say, God said, let there be spirit, but it said, let there be a firmament. And that idiom can go right through the Bible in all shades and meanings and variations. And therefore, You have a Bible with thousands and thousands, tens of thousands words, and not one of those terms is classified into categories. What the Bible lacks is showing that these ideas can be categorized. Now, with the textbook, that's different. In the textbook, we have a great vocabulary. They always say that Mrs. Eddy had a very great vocabulary, like Shakespeare and so on, though naturally Shakespeare wouldn't understand English today. He wouldn't know what we are talking about if he would read the newspaper today. The language has changed so much. But still, it's a great vocabulary. And what happened through the categories is actually that all those terms can be reduced into a few categories. You know that. That all those terms that you have on the mind can be reduced to the one term, mind. And in this way, you can catch the structure of a subject. Now, if we first have studied the textbook and the synonymous terms in the textbook and have caught the tone of the seven synonymous terms, the tone, not the words, and know what mind means in its great variation of hues and shades of mind. If we know the tone of it, we can go to the Bible and we can detect there in those stories those synonymous terms. And can therefore take an enormous big book like the Book of Samuel that runs over I don't know how many chapters and can read it and say, oh, how nice, good old Samuel. He was writing something about mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, and so on. Spirit as mind, spirit as spirit, spirit as soul, spirit as principle. And you lay it out right away in the 7x7. And you know what he wrote. Without that, you only know little stories. And you can say, you remember that little story in Samuel, so and so and so. You remember that story in Samuel, so and so and so. It was a nice story. And it is a nice story. And very adaptive for Sunday school. But when it but when it comes to the question, what did dear old Samuel really want us to teach? Did he want us to teach something about Samuel and about Saul and about David and about all those little stories? Or what did he want to teach us? If we can see it in its tonality, that whole story gathers, becomes a one consistent, structured story. And you can say, my word, he has told us 3,000 years ago how we can give birth to our true manhood. He has shown us already then the absolute ordered way, step by step, how a little shepherd boy, how somebody who feels he's just not anything worthwhile, how he can spiritually build himself up and culture himself until he is the big boss in Israel, King David. That's a story that can only be seen if that whole biblical story is translated into the fundamental elements of being, into the categories of being, into the seven and the four and the levels. Can you see what happens? Text interpretation is that important point today, where it says, if you can't get it today, and if you can't get it, if you don't see it, the idea will be lost again. Because until we see that, until we see that we can read the Bible and the textbook as a structured whole, it will be an atomistic piece of work, and atoms, they always fall apiece. They always get lost all over the place. They never hinge together, and it will again be lost. That's why I'm so hot on this subject. I always have been. In spite of every resistance to it, I know it. That if we can't culture ourselves into that ability to interpret the text structurally, we'll stay there where the movement has stayed for the last 100 years. Here a bit and there a bit, here an aphorism, there a nice, wise sentence. Everybody can do that. Today the world is full with people who speak out wise sentences. Very wise sentences. That is not what we want. In prose work, Mrs. Eddy takes up that question. What differentiates us in comparison to all the other wise sayings of metaphysics in the world? Because, she says, many of the things I say in the textbook have been said long ago. You can take, especially if you take prayer, you can practically take every second sentence and say, well, that has been said by the mystic, well, that has been said by the Hindus, well, that has been said by Zarathustra, well, that has been said by our priest in the church, well, that my grandma already taught me when I was a child. See? Practically all of them. Well, what religion on earth wouldn't say that the wordy prayer is no good? Many say that. Some don't say it, but many say it. So what's the difference? Is it just a collection of what other people have said since tens of thousands of years, or what? What makes the difference is not that she repeats, in sense, what others have said, but that she put it together into a system. And that therefore every sentence makes only sense within the system. And then because every sentence makes sense in a big thing, it becomes strong. It's just like links. If links are put together and related together, they become a chain that it's strong. But a lot of links don't do a thing. They have no power. That's what I would like to achieve this week.